the Edwin V. Johnson Newsroom, WHAB, presents the Open Mic Show with Jack Bevilacqua. Make your voice heard. Call 978-374-1900. That's 978-374-1900 or email jack@whav.net.
Okay, and welcome back to the Open Mic. I'm Jack Bevilacqua. Soon to have a new name. I need a new radio name, Phil. I got to come up with a name like Johnny Dollar or Captain Jet or something. I don't know. But we were talking, and we had more fun. I'm so glad you came in here. You should come in all the time. How come people had fake names? Why?
I don't know. They were trying to market themselves as something. And
Tim, I need a name. Okay.
Well, I mean, how do you envision yourself? You have to think about, you know, you got to go back to the original
half-dead
philosopher.
Jack.
Know
Major Mutt is taken.
Know thyself.
Well, okay. All right.
Who are you?
I'm just Jack. Anyway.
There you go. There's your name. Just Jack.
Just Jack. Just Jack. Okay. Thank you very much, Mark LeMay. What are we going to call him? Anyway.
I had a radio name.
You did? What was your radio name?
Stephen J. Marks.
Oh.
And if it was a rock station, it was Steve Marks.
Steve Marks. Okay. Now, anyway, but you know what you don't know is Phil Christie invented the term underground radio. So how did you do that?
Well, we were trying to set ourselves apart from what radio was at that time, which was kind of beautiful music, you know, and getting, you know, playing nothing offensive, playing, you know, always trying to, you know, we came on.
We would never play anything offensive here. Yeah.
Well,
I try, but I get caught.
On WHDH, HDH-FM, we tried to set that apart from the AM side, which was mostly talk anyway. But we had an engineer go down into the subway, and he recorded the actual subway. We brought that back, and we mixed it with music, and so that we had the sound of going into the underground, going different, you know, subterranean, whatever it was.
Underground radio.
Underground radio. And we knew that's what was appealing to the younger people.
Okay. All right, now we've got to go to our next segment, and Tim's got some canned thing he wants to play, so let's play it.
Recovery from the automobile accident was slow, and Phil Christie made the decision to work closer to home.
Coming up to 19 past 8 on the Gay Gay Phil Christie Show here at Mighty 1150 on your radio, the original WCOP.
It was now 1961, and Phil hosted the morning show at WCOP, not long after the Boston station adopted the Top 40 format.
WCOP time moving up to 8:21 on the Phil Christie Show.
WCOP didn't stay with Top 40 for long, and Phil relied on old connections from WHDH to follow the music. Phil Goulding, brother of Ray of Bob and Ray fame, was associated with WCAP in Lowell. Phil went to WCAP but nurtured other connections in the Merrimack Valley. When Lou Rock of WHAV urged Phil's return to Haverhill, he jumped at the chance. Phil worked with news director Edwin V. Johnson and morning anchor Ralph Hall. He recalls the station's janitor doubled as weatherman.
You guessed it, this is Bud Smith speaking and inviting you to listen on this station to my daily predictions. Now, wait a minute, maybe we weren't absolutely right on the last broadcast, but the weather does change, you know, and I'll guarantee an honest forecast every time. So listen in, won't you?
Phil later followed Lou Rock to WCAX in Burlington, Vermont, but he maintained Merrimack Valley connections. While working for WFEA in Manchester, New Hampshire, a station incidentally owned at one time by pop singers Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, he found himself taking on additional duties. After his morning shift at WFEA, he served as executive secretary of the Hampton Beach Chamber of Commerce. It was time for a new challenge for Phil as radio continued to evolve. FM in 1967 was about to explode into the dominant medium. WHDH-FM needed someone to rise to the challenge. Phil became program director and helped the station launch its new album rock format. While there, he interviewed such rising stars as Linda Ronstadt and Steve Miller. Phil rounded out his radio career by bringing rock and roll to WNTN in Newton in 1969, then moved on to WCAS, Cambridge, Arlington, and Somerville, and then WJIB-FM on Commercial Wharf. A voice like Phil Christie's doesn't retire, however.
Good morning, Phil Christie here. This is station WHAV with studios at 189 Ward Hill Avenue, Ward Hill, Massachusetts. Transmitting facilities are located in the Ward Hill.
WHAV listeners hear him hourly, as do shoppers at Market Basket.
Okay, guys, you're back.
Okay, back to the Open Mic Show. My guest is Phil Christie. Phil, in that last segment, we talked about you bringing, you went from underground radio to WJIB.
Right.
And the two couldn't be further apart. Underground radio was rock and roll music, album rock, which most people are familiar with now. But WJIB was like, I don't know what it was. It was like funeral home music.
Right, exactly. So,
and they used to like ring this bell. Ding, ding. And where did that bell come from?
That was the original bell of Old Ironsides.
So how did you get it?
Well, I didn't. The station got it. They went over and recorded that. So that was the actual bell of the famous historic frigate Old Ironsides.
So, Phil, I mean, how do you go from album rock to funeral parlor music? How do you do that?
We didn't pick the music.
I know, but
it was a format. We just either fit it into it. And said whatever you had to say, do whatever you had to do, you know, weather, news. But we didn't pick the music. It was all a format.
Oh.
It came out of, I forget where it came from, but a different part of the country.
God knows where that music came from, but my God.
Then we very had popular with older folks.
You had to be like 90.
Exactly.
I guess. Okay. I mean, they must have gone over well in nursing homes.
It did.
But the weatherman we heard was Bud Smith? What was his name, anyway? Something Smith at WHAV.
Bud Smith. Yeah.
And he was a custodian. Yeah. Interesting. It was kind of funny during that commercial. He goes, well, I kind of got the forecast wrong yesterday, but keep listening. So there's a weatherman like that today. I don't think they're any better today than they were.
I worked with Don Kent.
Don Kent passed away about a year ago, I think.
Yeah.
He was a real meteorologist who went to school for that.
That's true.
And he was one of the first ones who did that.
And his follower, Bob, I can't think of his name now. The younger guy came along.
Yeah, Bob, whatever his name. Bob, I forget. Anyway.
Who?
Bob Copeland?
Yeah, Bob Copeland.
Bob Copeland, right.
That's right, Bob Copeland. Yeah. Yeah.
He was actually MIT trained.
Okay, and so there used to be the weatherman on Channel 5 who was from West Newbury, and he was an artist. He used to, like, draw pictures. Okay, and then there was Ralph Hall. Ralph Hall, I think, lives in Methuen.
He still does, I think. And
he
was on WHAV.
I mean, who wasn't on WHAV? Did you know Tom Bergeron at all?
I didn't know Tom, but he's certainly a famous guy.
Yeah, he was at WHAV.
He started here, yeah.
That's right, Phil. So, you know, I'm hoping that Dancing with the Stars needs me. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Dancing shoes on.
I can't dance a lick. I wonder if Tom Bergeron can. So, the automobile accident, you were in an Austin Healey. Where were you when that occurred?
The Mass Turnpike.
Okay.
I was driving out to Worcester to do a morning radio show on WAAB at 6 a.m.
From Haverhill to Worcester.
From Andover to Worcester.
Andover, that's quite a haul.
It is.
And an accident in an Austin Healey probably wouldn't leave you in very good shape. They weren't very big cars.
It didn't have a, you know, it was an open car.
Yes, it was.
Convertible.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate. I thank God I survived. That's all I can say. I don't know how. But,
okay,
here
I am. Then you went to TV, so something good happened. Television up in Burlington, Vermont in the 50s. What did they have?
Not an awful lot. They had one channel. I worked for the radio side.
Oh, you never
never did TV.
So you had a face for radio, so you couldn't.
No, I never got into television. That was true at WBZ too. I worked on the radio side, and on the other side of the building were the Rex Trailers and the.
I interviewed Rex Trailer about 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
He lives in Wakefield. He's still around.
Oh yeah,
very nice man. And back then, a lot of these shows were locally produced. They were produced. I mean, radio stations, a lot of radio stations now, they just pipe through something that's produced in California.
That's the way the business has gone.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because...
It is.
Even
one,
in television...
One person can own 2,000 radio stations. They also own probably all the billboards you see out there.
Yeah, that's something
some
that
some
I know...
Some guy in Texas owns it.
Yeah, that's true. I know Ted Kennedy got in a lot of trouble trying to prevent that. And there's a reason why people like Kennedy and others didn't want one person to control all the media. It's dangerous, in my opinion.
Not only that, but the job situation changes dramatically. They're not hiring people anymore for each individual station. They've got one voice, or they've got one person, and they're feeding all the high tech.
And they're feeding, like, the broadcast is in Houston, and they try to make it look like it's coming out of Haverhill. We don't do that here. We have all the local talent. I just happen to be about it. Which, so, talent and Jack, that's I still need a new name, though. Anyway, we'll have to come up with that. Also interesting, you've got a black belt in karate. How'd that happen? Well, I know you had to train, but what made you do that?
Well, I was working in Cambridge at WCAS, which stands for Watertown, Cambridge, Arlington, Somerville.
Okay.
Which was a station based on those communities. And I was working there, and I met up with George Mattson in Boston, who was running a karate school.
Yes.
And that's how I got roped. I don't know how I went over to see him, and next thing you know, I started studying. Been doing it for quite a long time.
And you still do it?
I haven't lately, but my daughter is a...
Is your daughter got a black belt, too?
She has a fifth degree, is it?
A fifth degree black... I better not mess around with her, huh?
I'm only one notch above her, sixth degree.
Oh, my God. So we better be very nice to her. So, okay, we're not going to mess with her.
Well, she knows I'm her superior.
That's right. You've got a higher degree.
That's true.
Too bad we don't have a TV. Well, you do have a TV camera here. I guess we can't mess around with that. You invented underground radio and album rock. What's the difference between underground radio and album rock? You played the whole album? Is that what it is?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Okay.
No. Album rock, I don't know. We would go, usually they played single records, but we went to albums.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about what that means.
Well, album. They used to play like the 45, and the album version was usually better than the 45.
Yeah, because the 45 was just shaved right down.
That's right. And if you want to hear the best versions of popular music, you got to get the album
version. The album, right.
So I think what they used to do was play... I think I answered my own question. And it's interesting that there was a resistance to album rock, and there was a resistance to underground radio in Boston, like the liberal bastion, you would think, and people didn't want to play it. But it actually did win the day. You've been all over the place. Bridgeport, what was the make-believe ballroom?
Oh, well, that was,
what was that?
One of my inspirations, actually.
Sounds like something out of Sgt. Pepper's. But
I know, but it was a concept. Again, this guy, Martin Block, I used to listen to it as a kid.
Yeah.
Make-believe ballroom on WNEW in New York. And he would come on every day, and he had a theme song, and the theme song was made for him by Glenn Miller.
Yeah, we need a theme song, Tim.
I mean, it's famous. It's make-believe ballroom time, the hour of sweet romance. Now, I can't sing, but...
Me either. Okay.
But this guy really had it, and...
Did you know Cousin Brucey?
No, I never knew him.
Okay.
But I knew he was a big name in New York.
I think he was at Was he at NEW?
I'm not sure. No, I don't think so, but it was in New York.
Yeah, Cousin Brucey was from New York City. It's funny how some of these guys became omnipresent. They were everywhere. And how much did the guys like those guys get paid back then? I'm trying to get a pay raise out of Tim. How much did Cousin Brucey make?
I have no idea.
$1.95, wasn't it?
they would automatically inflate their salary or stature, whatever it was.
So you were on popular stations. Did you get gigs as a result outside of that?
No.
Live appearances?
Well, you could, but we never really charged for them. We did it as a way of self promotion. We'd go to beauty contests or whatever they wanted us to
do. Well, maybe
I
should go to beauty contests.
Yeah, they want you to
be a
judge.
Can I, like, be a judge, you think?
Yeah, you'd be a judge.
Yeah.
Well, certainly not a contestant, Jack.
Well, okay. You know, I've got a list. I'm so glad you came in. I'm getting a pay raise. I'm going to judge Miss Universe. I'm all set.
They got to stick with the same name, Jack.
say Jack Bevilacqua. I'll stay with that. I'm not going to change the name. Okay, we'll do that. Okay, and did you now? Phil Christie is a good radio name. It's your real name, I take it. Is your name like Joe, like some long Polish name or something?
No, it's the same name.
Okay. And what was the last? I mean, you still do work for WHAV, but prior to WHAV, where were you? What station was it? Jib? Or
I wasn't doing any radio that I can think of.
Okay. And Burlington, Vermont must have been a pretty good place for underground radio and album rock, I would think.
No.
They seem pretty progressive up there.
No, that was no place to launch it. They had a big student community up there with University of Vermont, but
that's why I thought it would be big.
Well, we never thought at that time to launch anything like that. It was just, you know.
Hey, do you remember that guy who used to broadcast from the top of Mount Washington?
Oh, who was that?
I don't know. Some guy. He used to be on, like, Channel 8, WMTW. They had a radio station up there.
Yeah.
And there was some guy, and they had a TV station, too. Some guy who looked like Red Green's nephew. He'd come on. You know Red Green? You used to watch that show sometime. And he'd come on, and the most deadpan announcer you ever want to meet. I think the guy was out in the frost too long. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll conclude our conversation with Phil Christie right after this.
Open mic!
Jack Bevilacqua and the open mic will be right back. Get in on the action. Call 978-374-1900 or email jack@whav.net. If you are enjoying this program, please consider making a donation right now. Your donations to not-for-profit WHAV helps keep these vital community services on the air. Donating online is easy. Simply visit www.whav.net and click on the donate button.